If we slow down even just a little bit, it's kind of miraculous what will come into our awareness. As I was reminded reading Michelle Edwards' book, Yoga Align, much of the world is in a self-care crisis, but with some focus, we can take better care of ourselves. While Michelle did focus and studied over many years and has put together a brilliant system that can be accessed by just rethinking how we sit on a chair. Of course, there's more to it, and she shares that with us today. I'm Robin with Tributaries. Michelle, between reading your book, Yoga Align, and our previous conversations, it's obvious you've done your homework, so to speak, and have developed what you call Yoga Align and Fit Align. Why and how did these develop, and what's the difference between the two?
Well, Yoga Align is what I started creating, gosh, close to 30 years ago, in response to my injuries from yoga, but also I just began to question some of the biomechanics, because a lot of my massage clients would say, oh, it's too hard, I can't do yoga. So for many reasons, I began to question the mechanics of it, not the philosophy, because the philosophy is ancient, 2,500 years old. So that wasn't it. It was just that yoga had become more of a doing rather than a philosophy that you live by, a state of being. And so once it became more like an exercise class or a stretch class, I had to question it because there were many things about it that I started to see really didn't make any biomechanical sense. And so then I wrote a book on Yoga Align after I spent many years developing the system and to give people a way to practice yoga in a mindful way, breathing and going within, but working with the whole body in a way that was more attuned to how nature designed us to move rather than imposing linear, static, angled positions, right angles, that to me just didn't make sense because humans are made of curves. And then down the road, I just realized that I was getting lumped into a yoga box. And also just to give people access to the breath-based neuromuscular repatterning, basically, that I teach. It's a somatic type of work. I just wanted to make it about posture and alignment and not so much about yoga, because it's kind of like the word dance, yoga. And I wanted to differentiate what I'm doing being primarily and specifically about how to address postural issues that lead to so many chronic problems in the human body. By making it about posture and breathing, I can just help people avoid falling into the boxes on things. And I can speak to a wider audience that may not want to do yoga or be involved with yoga. And so basically, Fit Align posture training can be used in how you approach doing physical yoga or how you're doing CrossFit or Pilates or how you're sitting in your chair or how you're paddling your surfboard. It's more of a way to apply natural breath-based ergonomics to anything we do.
Yes, and
is how I was looking at.
As you bring up posture, I don't know, 90% perhaps more of the pain stems from postural misalignment. How do you want to start discussing that? I'm sure when you look at someone, you see glaring problems, right, with someone who might be in a lot of pain. And you've already brought up the fact that right angles are not the way we're put together. So how do you want to talk about posture and perhaps some things that you see that we might relate to and be able to alleviate some things in our own bodies?
I think the important thing to understand is that posture is automatic. Like, it just happens. You don't decide to have forward head posture or a posterior tilt to your pelvis or one hip higher than the other. It's just like, this happens. And the reason why it just happens is because posture is, and certainly sometimes called axure, which is your posture in movement, it happens automatically, and these programs are controlled by your brain, specifically your cerebellum, which is your nervous system, and they're like very complex software programs is the way to look at it, that get written in and allow you to do things automatically, like play a piano without thinking about it. You know, if you had to control every muscle spindle, there's no way you could do that, you know, so the software gets written in. And what's happened is we have what I call malware in the posture software, because as toddlers, we all had excellent aligned posture where the cranium and the sacrum lined up, the rib cage moved easily to allow pulmonary elasticity and strong body throughout all your different muscle pulleys and balance. But what happened is once we got put in a right angle in a chair, the breathing apparatus was compromised. And so we got pushed into our periphery and developed these compensatory patterns that create tension and joint compression and even affect our emotions and our digestion, our elimination, everything. So what my program does is put you back in just functional alignment, and then uses these specific breathing techniques to kind of communicate with the biointelligence that controls that software. And it's a little bit hard to explain in words because it's very experiential what I teach, but it works, and it works quickly because your biointelligence will pay attention when you do things that help restore that natural blueprint is the best way I can describe it. But it's not about forcing yourself into good posture, because you can't do that. You can't like walk around and say, I'm going to hold my chin in and tuck my tailbone under. You can't.
Right.
That's another way of using the periphery to try to control the infrastructure. And the problem is most of us are in our periphery and it's inhibiting our infrastructure. So we have to really go deeper than let's stretch this out or let's go get this part of the body massaged, because the body's a continuum.
Yes.
All movements reverberate the whole thing.
Yes. And it's like the way Western medicine has fallen into treating symptoms. And it's so brilliant the way you're talking about the system, because it presents a remedy, so to speak. You know, it says, okay, well, you've talked about the chair. It's the common enemy to humankind, isn't it?
But there's cultures that sit 8 or 10 hours a day weaving, grinding corn, and they have excellent posture and don't necessarily get arthritis or, you know, joint deterioration. So it's how you sit and how your body is aligned when you sit, because we're not going to get out of chairs. We have to drive cars. We have to sit. We have to be on the computer. So my techniques show you how to adapt how you're sitting so that you can be aligned in your central axis of the body, because otherwise you just keep compounding and developing more and more compensatory patterns. And then pretty soon your body just feels foreign to you, and you're not comfortable in it. So a lot of my practice really is giving people the tools to restore what I call the kid body and to get back to that playful, agile, balanced place. And the fun part about my work is I always tell people you don't have to suffer to feel good. You don't have to stretch and sweat. And it really amazes people how easy it is to get aligned posture and really not have to work at it. Get your biointelligence, get your posture computer to do it for you.
Yes.
So it becomes like this car that it's going to drive itself eventually.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, a visual would help right now, but someone is sitting in a chair. Is there something you can share that they can perhaps zero in on in their own body that will give them a clue to, oh, I could shift this a little bit, and then it would really help serve me instead of constricting a lot of the systems in the body?
It might be easier to do it from standing, and I could explain a couple things, but with the chair, you have to get your hip joint about 4 inches higher than your kneecaps.
All right.
Because when your knee is straight from your hip, it engages your flexor muscles that run down the whole front of your body, and it actually inhibits the diaphragm from moving and the ribcage from expanding. And so it's just that knee across from the hip. So if they can put something in their chair, like a bunch of books, very firm pillow has to be very firm and get the hips higher than the knees, then I could explain how to adapt the sitting posture. But another thing that I talk about, which might be easier to show, is in standing. If you think about how humans move, we're bipeds. We balance on one foot at a time, and then we you know, the opposite foot swings through. And it's this balancing on one foot that turns on the torso muscles in a way that gives you that natural posture again. So a good way to feel how much it engages the core is if you stand up and you stand on one foot. Let's say you stand on your right foot and then put the heel of the other foot, the left foot, sort of on top of your right foot, but keep the ball of the left foot on the floor. It's kind of like a little kickstand. But most of your weight is on your right heel in particular. And then if it doesn't hurt your shoulder, you bend your elbow and put one hand behind the back of your head and just push back a little as you squeeze your inner thighs together, you'll feel all these muscles turn on naturally that support upright posture. And you can kind of feel that. And then take a breath just through your nose, and you might feel how easily your ribcage moves and expands. Your breathing muscles and your posture muscles are the exact same muscles. There's no separation there. So if you stand again on 2 feet and just go to 2 feet, and you'll feel how your muscles in your torso kind of turn off, and you kind of sag down in your joints. And then if you try to take another breath here, just even through your nose, you may feel that, oh, my rib cage doesn't move as much as when I stand on one foot. And you can feel that because the movement that we do each time we step on one foot, it automatically engages this vertical axis of postural support, which is why walking is so important. However, if you're not in alignment when you're walking, say you have rounded shoulders and forward head carriage, you don't have all your muscle pulleys working together, you'll actually deteriorate your joints through walking. It's kind of like a car. You know you need your front end aligned, but you just keep buying new tires every few months, and the service technician, well, if you would just get your front end aligned, you wouldn't have to buy tires every few months. And it's the same with the human body. Once you can use these breath-based techniques that I use to correct alignment, you're more likely to have joint longevity and joint stability because you're not going to have pressure on your joints when you're moving around. And walking will actually strengthen good posture and, of course, elevate your mood. And there's just many, many things that make walking so important. And it's weight-bearing. If you're thinking you're just going to exercise on a bike or sitting in a gym, that's not weight-bearing. You have to be standing on one foot at a time to make it weight bearing. And so cycling, although it's fun to do and everything, you're sitting. So it doesn't engage the torso the same way. So it's important to address, you know, how you're exercising in a way that is going to be weight bearing and does involve the whole body and does allow the breathing apparatus to engage. We play around this all the time. Even if you stand on one foot, if you let your butt kind of tuck under, you won't be able to breathe very deeply. So my exercises are about strengthening the breathing apparatus and training your biointelligence, your posture software computer, to uptake the software, which is really, I think, returning you to your natural software that was built in, and deleting the viruses that are in the program, is the way I look at it.
Right, yeah.
I love the idea that you can just feel so agile and free in your body without having to suffer to feel good.
Stretching beyond our comfort zone ends up putting us not only into fight or flight, but it ends up destabilizing our bodies, our joints. How do you work with getting flexibility and strength working hand in hand? And are there some key thoughts about that, or perhaps some signs that they aren't necessarily working for us?
Well, what's important to remember is in real life movement, you know, whether you're walking or swimming or dancing, flexibility and mobility and strength occur all at the same time. And I prefer to call it agility rather than flexibility, because I think people tend to have these belief systems like, oh, I can't touch my toes, I'm not very flexible. So there's this overemphasis on flexibility and compartmentalizing
yes.
exercise programs. It's whatever you're doing, this, you know, got to stretch first and all of this. But in reality, static stretching, you know, locking your knee and pulling your heel back and then just trying to bend forward and pulling on your joints is not a remedy for making you feel more agile or even to support the way your body works, because basically your joints are loaded springs. Your foot, your knee, your spine, they're like springs that are loaded, and the ligaments that we can't really feel them unless we tear them, but they're there. And they string everything together. And they're designed to have this elasticity, but only to a certain point. Like, ligaments should not be stretched too much, maybe about 5%. So let's say you're going to sit on the floor with both your knees straight. You're going to flex your ankle, and you're going to try to lean forward and reach for your toes. I call it driving with the brakes on. You're flattening the springs in the bottom of your foot and your knee and in your spine, and you're pulling on them. And you might not necessarily feel pain, especially if you're hypermobile, if you're one of those people that have just naturally more laxity in the whole construction of the connective tissue. But what'll happen is that the elastin and the collagen fibers that make up these tissues will start to break down. And so you lose that shock absorption. And so what I see a lot with people that want to stretch a lot is that their bodies just sort of collapse down with this desire to pull on things. So we don't pull on the joints. Mainly we connect our limbs back to our body in my practice, because I think what people don't understand about stretching is it's a socio-cultural phenomenon. It's not a natural thing that humans would do. You have to be taught how to do it. And what we naturally do is called pandiculation. Recently, a friend's daughter had twins, and I watched him at 2 days old pandiculating, and basically it's like when you get up from a chair, you get up in the morning and you kind of reach your arms up and you kind of tighten your muscles, and you might be yawning at the same time. And that's a way to turn on your voluntary muscles. It's not stretching. Someone had to tell you, put your heel up on the bench and let's all stretch our hamstrings. But that's not natural. And the more that you pull on the joints like that, there's different mechanoreceptors and joint tendons that tell the brain, oh, something's getting pulled too hard here. And basically, a lot of people are just eliciting a stretch reflex. And you can't pull on your muscles and make them longer. That's all controlled by your brain, by your nervous system, and even muscle tone is controlled by your cerebellum. So you have to figure out a way to communicate with your brain, not try to just force your body into stretches and shapes, because it just doesn't work. And it turns out the people with the most flexible spines, you know, that bend it forward as far as it'll go and extend it back and lean side to side and do these deep pulling stretches, they wind up with the most back pain statistically, because you don't want a loose spine, you want a stable spine. I try to help people understand, but one thing I always say to people, especially if they take one of my Change Your Posture, Change Your Life workshops or something, is don't believe anything I say. Just experience this in your body. because belief systems are dangerous. So I prefer to let the people get some tools to communicate with their body and then make decisions about what is correct, you know, or what feels good to the organism, you know, because we're kidding ourselves. Our body is, we're just kind of driving it around, but we're not making it go. We're not making our heart beat. We don't digest our food. We don't tell our brain how to interpret light signals into vision. There's so much that's happening automatically.
Right.
So we have to recognize that and not try to impose what we think is good for this organism, which is millions of years old, and it has a lot more intelligence than
yes.
than we do in this.
Thank goodness. Well, Michelle, I'd love to hear your take on fascia, relatively speaking, has only just come into vogue. So if you could talk about how fascia really is a part of that body's conversation.
The same way that you can't really feel your ligaments too much. Fascia is just all over the body. Even blood is considered connective tissue fascia. What happens is when we are out of alignment, say our head goes forward, and then the back muscles become very long and tense, the fascia system is going to lay down more substance to support muscles that are saying, we can't do this ourselves. And so you get this thick, ropey fascia. And that's why people look stiffer as they get older and their body feels thick, because the fascia system is actually kind of working against them. Now, when you're in alignment, the fascia organizes in patterns. We've seen this in dissection. Once you get in better alignment, the fascia will reorganize on its own. You don't have to have somebody go in there with an elbow or a foam roller and try to break it up. You've gotten ropey or whatever because of your alignment. And so you have to go back to the source of why it got that way. Fascia's not out to get you.
Right.
Plus, fascia stores elastic energy. You need tension, like in your IT band. That's part of the spring thing. They figured that out. It's not just muscles contracting and pulling on bones. It's the fascial recoil that helps us move.
Right.
And so the idea that you're going to loosen fascia all over the body is a real misnomer. Getting these foam rollers and trying to roll your IT band and all this. I mean, you can do that till you're blue in the face. That's not going to change that way you feel tension there. My techniques, once you get back in the breathing chain, which runs from the inner arch all the way up to your pelvic floor and up around your psoas and diaphragm up into the side of your face, once you turn that on, we've compartmentalized muscles, we've compartmentalized fascia, but the reality is the reason why we can stand on 2 feet is you have these pulleys that are a lot like stays on a sailboat. And they're constantly pulling against each other, and that's what keeps us upright. Our bones don't hold us up. They're spacers in this web. And the fascia is so connected. It's like you can't just go, okay, we're working on the fascia and not the muscle. I mean, that's absurd. The body is a continuum. All tissues differentiate into each other. And so this dissection of the body, like, oh, we're going to work on your shoulder. You know, you've got rotator cuff issues, so, you know, hold this stretchy band. In reality, if you don't deal with the posture of the whole body, your shoulder's not going to heal, really, because it's going to sag down if you have weak arches,
right?
If your glutes aren't firing, if your breathing's not working right. So with my techniques, the whole body comes into alignment and balanced tension. We're not trying to get rid of tension. That's the thing that I don't understand. People go, oh, I got to get rid of this tension. And I'm like, no, it holds you together. You just need to balance it. Making tension the enemy is not going to get you into the feeling of just feeling light and energized. You know, they say the youth is wasted on the young. And I'm like, okay, well, we're taking it back. I show people how to get their kid body back.
Yes, I know you do.
You know, I've been a professional massage therapist many, many years. Had a lot of clients, but it didn't fix people's pain. You know, for a few days I'd feel okay, but then it'd always feel like, oh, I still have that back pain. And so I began to realize that massage is a really great tool for sensory data to the brain. Of course, touch is very important. But what I began to do is incorporate self-massage while we're in alignment, and you massage muscles while they're recruited. So then you engage the motor and the sensory cortex, and that's been a game changer. You just can't lay there and have people change their posture. there has to be an active engagement of the motor and the sensory cortex at the same time. So in two, a lot of body workers take my classes to learn other techniques other than just passive massage.
When our body can be freed to stand upright with the least amount of effort, other things open up that go beyond the physical.
If someone has really misaligned posture, they're working harder than an Olympic athlete, and muscles are tense, and there's all sorts of signals to the brain, we're not safe here. There's all this stuff going on, which makes the nervous system go into a sympathetic mode. And oftentimes, people don't realize the exercises they're doing are putting them into a stress mode. And a lot of that is because this overstretching destabilized joints in a way that tell the nervous system, you got problems here. And then eventually, it's going to respond with a stress response to try to deal with it. And particularly people that are hypermobile, like if you let your fingers dangle down, just relax your wrist. If you can pull your thumb back towards your forearm, or when if you reach your arm out with your elbow straight and your palm up, if your elbow bends past 180 degrees neutral, you may have loose collagen, what's called hypermobility, or even EDS, which is a more severe form of it. So the last thing you need to do is stretch, because your joints are already unstable. So, and that, again, the people that are hypermobile, and they know this is a medical fact, you're 14 to 16 times more likely to have anxiety and depression and stomach problems. So if you're already hypermobile and then you're stretching on top of it, you're really playing Russian roulette with your nervous system. So it's real important that people start pendiculating and stop pulling on their joints. Again, they're loaded springs, and they store elastic energy. Too many people are getting hip and knee replacements. It's just unbelievable.
Well, Michelle, I know a book is coming out, and there's already the video for the new book that is out. So just share a moment about that.
Yes, I'm trying to complete my new book, which is called Breathe Your Way to Better Posture and a Pain-Free Life. But I already have the video out that goes with the book. So if you go to fitalign.com, you'll see I have a lot of videos that you can get and, just stream them. And I also teach courses for people that want to become posture educators. I really have a lot of fun, really rewarding. Give people the tools to heal themselves and get results very quickly. That's the most fun part of my work, I think.
Many thanks to Michelle Edwards for sharing her time today and for developing such a brilliant, easily accessed system. For anything tributaries related, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And our podcasts are where you'd hope to find them. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.